In the Gospel today, our blessed Savior says, "We will come to him and make our abode with him." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Pentecost, for us, is the feast of fire. So you see all the flames, all of the red candles throughout the church to represent it, as we remind ourselves how dark and cold would this world of ours be without God's own Spirit, his fire, his flame, all bright and burning, to melt the frozen and to warm the chill, as we sang in the sequence before the Gospel this morning. As it is, the Holy Ghost comes at this ninth hour of the morning of the 50th day of Easter, and he sets us alight with the bright flame of Almighty God's life. But most of all, and for us each year, this Feast of Weeks, the Jews used to call it, the Greeks Pentecost, 50th day, this feast which once commemorated the Ten Commandments, is the feast of confirmation, whereby the Holy Ghost, who has prepared us, comes to us, as he did for these little ones just yesterday, and perfects us with his grace. And you all remember your catechism. What does confirmation do? It makes us to be strong and perfect Christians and soldiers of Jesus Christ, and bestows upon us in abundance God's gifts sevenfold, the same which first came to our Lord at his incarnation in the womb of the Virgin Mary, the seven gifts of the Holy Ghost. And finally, does the Holy Ghost leave, because he is our Lord's own Spirit, the image, the resemblance to our Lord himself in our soul, stamping upon it a character with which we are sealed for all eternity. Now, we were going over all of this on Thursday. I'd like to get the children together and have a catechism day and a day of prayer before these important sacraments are given. And it was this past Thursday. And all was going pretty well as we were going through our questions and our answers, until I asked what I thought was really a very simple question, which stopped them all in their tracks, even our local Thomas Aquinas and our little catechism queen. I simply asked, "Who will confirm you?" Well, that was a curveball. Of course, I got the usual answers. There are some answers at these occasions that sort of come from left field. You're not quite sure where we're going with this. Someone might say original sin or Holy Communion. But of real answers, some said God, another one, the Holy Ghost. And of course, we have to make the proper distinctions that we, yes, in a sense, and you see this is how it works. But who will confirm you? By whom will you be confirmed? And then it got very interesting, I thought. One girl said, "Father Dardis." And I thought, how did he get in here? And then most of them finally pitched upon Miss Patton. And they thought that she would be the one, yes, because she was their catechism teacher after all, and that sort of made sense. Well, I allowed as to how, I'm sure Miss Patton would do a lovely job, but she wouldn't be able to confirm anybody because, why? She's not a bishop. And then that was the chance to talk about who the bishops are and how the bishop is the successor of the apostles, and one of his special jobs is to give the grace of confirmation. Now, had I asked the children, who says Mass, who consecrates the body and the blood of Christ, they would all have known that standard issue. That's the priest. But I have a question for you, all of you, today. Who prepares this spiritual repast? Who bakes the banquet to which we are called each week, which is the blessed sacrament of the altar. Why, it's the Holy Ghost, the Mass, the consecration, and its consumption at Holy Communion. That is as much the work of God's own Spirit as is the confirmation these children received yesterday. And thus I'm thinking, you know, it's not a bad thing that sometimes when Easter falls late in April, as it did this year, to have our first Holy Communion not on Corpus Christi Sunday, but on this day. And anyway, it is a bit of a challenge for our children, and I think they're doing pretty well, to keep what I like to call their C sacraments straight. There's confession and confirmation and Holy Communion. Right, children? And they're all the work of God's own Spirit. Another question. Did you know that the Holy Communion, as part of Pentecost, was, as with so much, already prefigured in the Old Testament, and then it was fulfilled in the New Testament? The original Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks, kept by the people of the Old Testament, God's people, was a true Eucharistic feast. It came, you see, at the time of the wheat harvest, and the chosen people who are, you know, our relatives, our ancestors. This is our heritage. If not exactly by blood, the bloodlines today as to who might truly be a Jew are very, very distant and confused and lost, truly lost. But then surely by spirit. We are the spiritual descendants of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. Well, our ancestors brought to the temple this day leavened loaves of bread, and before the altar they elevated them and lifted them up. And during the Pentecost feast, they were then consumed by the priest. Now, today, this year, this Feast of Weeks, the 50th day, the Holy Ghost, who's always in charge of all of these things, reminds us that today really is a blessed sacrament feast day. The Holy Eucharist is not just lifted up or elevated, it is given to us to be eaten, not just by the priest, but by all the people who by baptism's anointing share in the priesthood of Christ, which is why it is so important to go to Mass and to participate in Holy Mass, offering the sacrifice in union with our Lord at Calvary, and if you are so prepared by confession in your faith to make a devout Holy Communion, and that it be a good Mass and not a Mass set in union with those who want to destroy our holy Catholic faith. The Holy Ghost, however, will preserve it. He is still at work. I like to think of him at Pentecost like a good mother who is slaving over the stove all day long to prepare a magnificent feast. The Blessed Sacrament is the stove of God's own Spirit. He hovers over it. He it is who will give to you little ones a taste for the things of God, for this holy and this supernatural bread, the bread of angels. Of angels' children. Remember, that's the first of his seven gifts. That's the gift of wisdom. You got a little taste of that when you were just babies, and Father popped into your mouth at baptism a few grains of salt, and he said, "Receive the salt of wisdom." Now, who is it who will make us, because often this is the case, not imitate our ancestors in the desert? You know how they got terribly hungry when they left Egypt, and they had nothing to eat anymore, and how God sent them down bread from heaven, and they said to each other, manu, which is Hebrew for, what is this? And that became its name, manna. And they went, see the connection? Every morning, every day, every morning, to collect this heavenly bread and to eat it, and it nourished them just for the day. But eventually, as people will, the novelty wore off, and they grew tired of it, this little and light and wafer-like bread, and they yearned for the flesh pots of Egypt. They said, we want the cucumbers, and we'd really like to get some onions too. We don't want this. We're sick of this light bread. Well, the Holy Ghost steps in for us, and he's the seasoner. He has a deft hand with the salt and the spices, so that it will taste so good that you and I will always have a taste for it, that's wisdom, and a hunger for it. We will long for Holy Communion, not only for what the Holy Ghost puts into our Holy Communion, but for what, by means of communion, he puts into us. You see, children, the Holy Ghost seasons you so that Holy Communion will make you like him whom you receive. As they say, and it's true, you are, in a sense, what you eat. So it's very important to eat well and to eat regularly, and whatever will become people who subsist almost entirely on a diet of junk food, too sad to contemplate. But for us, it's the bread of angels and the bread of the strong that we receive in Holy Communion. Children, I usually ask this question on First Communion Day. Would any of you want to show how grateful you are and how hungry you've gotten this week by asking Mom or Dad, or possibly Granny or Gramps, by asking, or even a brother or a sister who's got a driver's license, could you bring me back to church this week? I promised the bishop I would make my second Holy Communion before Sunday, just to show our Lord I really am grateful to receive him. And yes, I'm still a little bit hungry in my heart. I'm hungry. That's God's way to stay with you, to abide with you all days, and for you to abide with him, to stay and more by this sacrament, to be your stay and your strength and your support, to grow strong and to stay healthy. This is the work of God's own Spirit. Do you see him then, children? Do you see him in all three of our C sacraments? Confession, confirmation, and today, communion. Because of him, Jesus abides with us. He stays with us all days, even until the consummation of the world, when he will come again. How will he come at the end? He will come by fire. He came by fire at Pentecost, and so will he come at the end to judge the world by fire. But we needn't fear if we here have consumed Christ with the fire of God's love in our holy communions. We are already then on fire. We are already consumed by him who abides in us. Pentecost, that's the day of fire. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.